far this month, it's been a real blessing. I've been able to recover some from November. I'm getting accustomed to all the travel, and I really do. I love it. It's joy. Getting there is not the great part, though. But being with the brothers, you know, just seeing their hunger and their longing to know the Lord, their willingness to travel from some pretty far distances just to receive a day's training is really encouraging. And even now, this month, I'm not holding the monthly meetings, but I receive phone calls almost every day from brothers who are asking questions theologically, practically, or just calling to see how things are going with the ministry otherwise. So it's really neat. It's neat to see how God is at work in their hearts, just giving them a passion for the ministry and for his name. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Eddie wants to know if your four-wheel drive is working now.
Ha, ha, ha. It is indeed.
What's that all about?
You can just let that go. Don't worry about it.
You didn't know you had to lock the hubs?
All right. With my Pathfinder.
Okay. Hey, tell us about the water purification thing. What's going on with the units and what your plans are with them and everything?
This is amazing. I mean, really, and if Ray's there tonight, I'm sure he can attest to it as well. It's been a bit discouraging because the other guy who was receiving some units here in Uganda, the shipment was in his name. And so in order for me to get the units, he had to do the clearing. I wasn't allowed to do it. And he's really been sitting on his hands doing nothing. And so I've been kind of waiting around trying to do what I could for the last 3 months. And it's really come to a head now. And Atlas Copco, Ray's company who's donating these units, they've kind of changed their course. And now they've decided that because he's been so negligent, they're going to give us all of the units, which gives us close to 50 units to distribute with the EEC. So while the delay is unfortunate, it affords us the opportunity to serve more families. So that'll even – we're doing it in steps, so that will give us more opportunities to spend time and travel up with and be with the EEC and more opportunities just to preach the gospel. So I'm thrilled. I mean, the delays have been rough. And still, we're working through clearing the units, but I can see God's hand in it, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do through this.
Excellent. Now, I know there's like some time issues with that, right? The dry season with the EEC is coming in when? January, February, something like that?
The dry season has started now.
Okay.
So a bit of urgency, because they have to find clean water. During this season, the streams, certain springs will dry up. And beyond that, the access that they do have to water, oftentimes it's stagnant or it's not clean. So they have serious problems with diarrhea to the extent that they die from dehydration.
Wow.
So the opportunity for these families to have clean water, while we can't reach everyone with them, is a great opportunity, and it will give us an incredible platform to share the gospel, because each time we distribute these units, I'm going to be training them in how to use them, and so I'll already have the platform to talk to them about the living water that they desperately need.
Awesome.
So I'm excited about that. What's cool too is we've got a plan to try to ensure that these units are going to be utilized in the best way possible. I talked about it some on the blog, so I won't go in too much detail. But one of the things that you struggle with doing aid, predominantly from what I've read, but from what I've seen as well, one of the things that you struggle with is that when someone receives something freely, they're less likely to take ownership of it and be responsible and utilize it to its full potential. So what we're trying to do is work with the EEC and the people who will receive the units to ensure that they're going to really own them and put them to good use. So we've started a road work project, and it's so difficult to get to these tribes and these villages. And it would be beneficial for the entire communities if they could have a functioning road that wasn't impassable. So right now there are 10 men from 10 different families that are working on clearing a road 2 days a week, each week. And those men will be the first ones to receive the units. So it's pretty exciting to see it all come together.
It's helpful to have good roads too when you don't know how to use four-wheel drive.
Oh, now we do.
Hey, tell us how your integration with Hoima Baptist is going, with the church itself, and how you're involved there.
Yeah, it's been really neat because some of the leadership in the church has kind of moved out. Britton and Collins are away at school right now, and so I feel like I've been able to step in as another brother who's able to serve. And I've been extremely blessed by the leadership and shepherding of Pastor Gordon. And he and I are able to serve in ministry here in Hoima together. As much as like I'm having to go and travel out and do ministry away, I've really enjoyed the opportunities that I have here with the children, for one thing, working with the kids and preaching on the radio with Pastor Gordon on Sunday evenings. Once again, that is just an amazing opportunity. Every time we do it, I leave just praising the Lord, because it's something so much bigger than me, and it's a testimony to His power and grace that we're able to do that. One neat thing, too, is that we're starting church membership here, a church membership class at the church, and so I'm working with Gordon and Godfrey and Emma to develop basically the beliefs of the church. And so we're establishing some very foundational doctrine, a lot of things that we wouldn't necessarily teach at West Salem because they're things that are already understood. So this upcoming Sunday, I'm teaching on the ordinances and just the glory of the Lord's Supper and baptism, and how they're not just traditions, but how they're opportunities for us to remember the Lord and just what all that it testifies to. So we're just working through some very fundamental discipleship, just base level, but glorious truths together through the church membership stuff. So all of that's coming together. I'm teaching that like a Sunday school class. Pastor Gordon is coming to the end of Romans. He's in Romans 14 on Sunday mornings. So that's exciting. He preaches a little bit faster than you, Nick.
Thanks, Jonathan.
But it's a joy. Things are coming together. Things are going well here in Hoima.
Yeah, thanks for that little hit right there. I just took that in the elders meeting from John Cannon. He wants me to get to Ezekiel before he dies. I don't think there's any chance. Just saying. Anybody got any questions you want to ask them? Anybody? What? How are the kids?
Talk about the conference first.
All right, talk about the conference first.
Yeah. So that's consuming a great deal of my time right now. In the past,
hey, whoa,
I've come
go
like
back
2 months in advance.
Hey, stop. Hey, go back and say what you said at the beginning, because it sounded like, how bad you were heading it.
Just saying that
conference. We're talking conference.
Yeah. I was just saying that the preparations for the conference have consumed a lot of my time this month. I've been going around and getting, 200 kilos of beans, 100 kilos of rice, and just trying to pull everything together, going out and looking for cows. You can't just go to Walmart and
and the cows see you and they run.
So I'm doing a lot of preparations in that regard, as well as the administrative stuff, writing up the schedule and the notebooks for the pastors. But I'm really excited about it. It'll be great to have Pastor Eddie and Brett here. Everybody here at Hoima Baptist Fellowship is really excited. We had a meeting last Sunday just kind of designating certain responsibilities for the conference, and they were thrilled. We've been praying each Monday evening. We pray for you all at West Salem, and we're praying now for the conference as it's coming together. I'm really looking forward to it, especially because of the topic that we're going to be exploring. We're looking at the pursuit of holiness, the pastor's pursuit of holiness specifically, with the key text being Paul's admonition to Timothy to keep a close watch on his life and his doctrine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we're listening.
So it's a huge problem here in Uganda, and all over the world. Not that it's a particularly Ugandan problem, but just the disconnect between what we say we believe about Christ and the way that it works itself out in our daily decisions and actions and thoughts. So we're just going to work through all of that, and how through our lives we have the opportunity to testify to the power of what we proclaim with our lips. So we're having about 140 pastors that we're working with through the monthly gatherings who are going to be able to come to the conference. So in all, we're working with over 200, which is amazing, especially because it's not just 200 people showing up. It's 200 people that want to be there and learn. But we're only going to be able to bring around 130. Beyond 140. Beyond that, though, there are guys that we've worked with in past conferences from different districts that we're just not doing the monthly gatherings in their districts, but they have been lighting up my phone trying to find out if there's a way for them to come. So we're going to have guys from other districts that we're not working in right now who will also be attending. And overwhelmingly, the brothers, I just can't reiterate it enough, and this is the power of God working through the prayers of his people. I received an email from Alphonse, who's the brother that's organizing the trainings in southwestern Uganda, Kasese. And in his district, in these monthly gatherings, we've got bishops of major Pentecostal denominations coming for training. And after the first month, they started bringing all of their pastors with them that they're overseeing. And they're saying, like, listen to these guys. This is what we need. So they're identifying the problems, even confessing the problems, identifying them in their own denomination. And I just pray that they will continue as they hear the word, that the Spirit of God would soften their hearts, because we're going to continue to go deeper. And I just pray that God would continue to work through it. So Alphonse emailed me, though, recently and was just talking about how the timing in all of this, he said, is very timely, that God had prepared his district, at least, for these trainings and this project. So he was incredibly grateful, and wanted to also extend that gratitude to all of you all who are making this possible.
That is awesome, man. That is really. When are you guys going to start like something on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit or something? When's that going to happen?
Yeah,
because I know it's coming. I mean, it's got to happen at some point.
Well, we've already started it somewhat. I mean, just because it's such a major problem,
right?
You know, here. You know, witchcraft is so just entwined into the culture and the ideology of the people that, you know, Pentecostalism and charismania, all of that stuff fits in real well, because it's like, oh, there's this great spirit that's greater than these other, you know, other spirits. And so it's, and while that's a reality, that's true, there's a lot of abuse that happens with the Holy right. Spirit, and just a lot of misunderstanding. So when we start talking about even the inspiration of the Word of God and the authority of the Word, we've already gotten to the Holy Spirit. I think it's about 3 months off, though, where we're going to focus and just work through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, though. So be in prayer.
Yeah, I mean, the blessed thing, too, in that is that you've already established the authority of Scripture. So when you appeal to the Word of God as you're teaching – I mean, that's going to have to be the, you know.
And that's it. And I think that so far, that is what has knocked these guys off their feet. Yep. Like that, or that's what's brought them to their knees.
Yeah.
Is wait a second. I don't get to decide what is true based on what makes me feel good.
Yep.
Or what I want to hear. I have to submit myself to God's authority. And so it was neat. You know, I'd never really even paid attention to the passage before or taken note of it. But in the teaching, I want to say it's Psalm 138, verse 2. But it says, it's a testimony that God is exalted above all things, his name and his word. And it's so awesome when you start to meditate on that and all that it means. Just because God is so concerned with the glory of his name, he's concerned with communicating his name clearly through his word. So both of those things are exalted above everything else because God, in his nature and in his character, wants for us to know who he is.
Understand.
And he's in the dark. So it's really neat because it's a rebuke, yes, to a lot of these guys, but it's also an amazing encouragement because it means we don't have to go look on the tops of high mountains or at the bottom of the sea to find who God is. We don't have to go chasing after these euphoric spiritual experiences. We just need to open our Bibles and we can know who he is. So it's been neat. It's been neat to see. And you're right. Having that foundation, we can appeal to that. We will be every training.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's such a liberating truth. I mean, you know, oh, sorry, I'm not having a personal Did anybody else have questions for Jonathan? Oh, how are the kids doing?
Yeah, they're doing well. You know, they're kids. It's an adventure. The younger ones are doing great in school. They're on their holiday or their break right now. But the younger ones are essentially all at the top of their class. The older ones, though, are really struggling because, I mean, they didn't go to school for 10 years or 11 or 12 years. And so the oldest, Doreen, is in a class with like 8-year-olds and she's 13. So they're struggling, the older ones, that is. But what's neat is that it really affords the local church here the opportunity to minister to them. And there are people in the congregation who are taking time to go over there and tutor the children. And since the beginning, they've been working with them on their homework. But they're doing well. They're healthy. They're asking questions about the gospel. Josephine leads a Bible study with them in the evening. Jane does one in the morning. Pastor Gordon's going over there essentially every day. Brian's over there a lot. And just, it's incredible to see the way that the local church here has given themselves to helping raise these kids.
Cool.
Let's see. The baby was a surprise. Definitely not planned for.
Yeah.
But a blessing. I think I had mentioned in the blog that there's still some questions about how long we're going to be caring for her. The refugee office, UNHCR, is the United Nations like governing body for refugees. And they actually came out and visited the children's home just to inspect it and make sure that we were providing proper care for the child. But they're not taking her away. In fact, they were like admiring, you know, the way that it was all set up and how it was being run. And we're sitting there thinking, you guys have like millions of dollars at your disposal and you're admiring ours, like what we're doing. So that's pretty cool. but it's an incredible opportunity. You know, it's a huge testimony to our community here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We've got people from the community who will, you know, stop Gordon or myself on the street and just thank us, or they'll stop Jane and thank her for what they're doing. And these are not necessarily believers, but they're amazed. And it's giving us so many platforms to just talk about why it is that we're doing it and what true religion is, as James describes it, how that's an overflow of genuine faith in Christ. So it's amazing. The kids are doing well. Thank you all for sending those gifts. I haven't seen them yet, but thank you for going through all that trouble to put those things together. Lisa is flying out tonight, and I'm actually leaving to travel to Kampala, early tomorrow morning. Well, I guess today. It's 3:38 in the morning here. but I'll be picking her up, and we'll be enjoying Christmas with these children. So,
yeah, just with the children enjoying Christmas, just with them.
We will be enjoying Christmas with the children.
Okay, and who's Lisa again?
Lisa is my girlfriend.
I just love to hear you say that word because your voice still cracks when you do it. Hey, just curious. Any like Ugandan Christmas traditions or anything that you're noticing? Do they even celebrate Christmas like we do, kind of, or what?
Well, not really.
No.
Well, it's like 90 degrees outside. so I don't know. For me, it's like, man, can it really be Christmas if it's hot outside? But they, one big thing, they eat pork on the day of Christmas. So they'll like go and sit outside and they'll just relax together. It's neat. The church here actually, they'll go over to Gordon's home in the village and just roast pork and pineapple and mango and, just fellowship together. But it's not all that, that it's become for us in the U.S., I'd say. The
commercialization
is there. But a lot of the same, you know, a lot of the same worldliness has penetrated it. But yeah, not much.
All right. Anybody? Questions? Gretch? John?
Yeah, since the Lord is so clearly blessing the work of his hand, how is he blessing his furniture?
All right. John wants to know, since God is, say that again. Hold on.
Jonathan, since the Lord is so clearly blessing the works of your hand, how is he blessing your furniture construction?
Well, I've started on a table, and let me tell you, it's not quite as easy. Not that it was easy with you, but it's a little bit more difficult here. I'm trying to make do without that joiner, but it's coming together. It's a nice release. I've been able to work on some chicken coops, helping some of the pastors with, but besides that, furniture wise, I've just started on one table, and I've done the planing, and I've got everything set out. I'm chiseling out the mortises, the tenons are done, so we'll see how it comes together.
Any, do you want to give him any advice, John, or is that, you just wanted to? He wants to see the product. Can you put something like a picture of it or something on Facebook so he can see where you're at?
I tagged his wife in one of the pictures of at least the tabletop and the legs and everything.
There you go.
He is sweet.
Oh, you saw it? Well, what more do you want, John? Okay, well, he wants to see it finished. So apparently you should lay down everything else you're doing and get that table done ASAP. Just don't worry about the conference. It'll all come together. Don't worry about it. Gotta have priorities, man.
Coming is that I've really just set up the workshop. I just moved into the church. That's another big thing. I just moved in, and I am so thankful to be here. I've got electricity and running water now, and so I wasn't able to set up the shop until I was living here because it just wouldn't have been secure. So I made a workbench, and I'll send you a picture of that, Mr. Cannon. But I made a workbench first, so it's coming together.
Hey, just one thing. I want Eddie to have the full Ugandan experience, so don't let him use running water when he's there.
So I've got to deprive him of the shower.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, there's a shower?
There's a shower.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
That's ridiculous. No, he is not allowed to use the shower. No way. Latrine only, no shower. Make him bathe with all the brothers.
I will.
All right. Thank you. Be what? Yeah, we want you to set up one of those reed, those papyrus-like shower stalls for him and let him use that.
All right.
All right. Gretch, you had a question? Is there any hope of anybody from Hoima Baptist actually being able to adopt the children?
I know that Gordon is hoping after he gets married to adopt Rose. He's got a special heart for Rose. And so he and Esther are praying about that as a serious possibility. The struggle is that most of the people in the congregation here are younger. And, you know, they're still, even those that are older, you know, they're struggling to provide for themselves.
Okay.
The congregation is not, they're not like well off by any means. So adoption is usually done by necessity here. Like if you have a family member or if you have a brother and he dies and his wife dies, and then you take care of the kids, but it's not so common just because of the poverty.
Okay.
But it's a possibility. At least Gordon and Esther. Gordon was talking to me the other day, and he would love to adopt them all if he could. He was talking about how he would hate to see for any of them to have to go. He's just got to convince Esther to adopt 9 kids after they get married.
Yeah, that would be kind of a shocker, wouldn't it? Hey, question, what about this? What is there any, I mean, obviously you can't give me an answer right now, but be thinking about this. Think about how we could enable, some of the members of Hoima Baptist, how we could help them to create sustainable income, maybe to move in that direction. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah.
So be praying about that. Another thing that we want you to be praying about is just some kind of missions trip that we could do maybe in the spring that could involve some people in the body beyond teachers, and what that would look like, and, you know, maybe bring John along so you can see the finished table. Maybe
not. Sounds good.
But yeah, be thinking about that and praying about that.
I think I was even thinking about it some, and just to throw one idea out there, because we could do a project-based trip where people are coming to provide, you know, eyes and labor or whatever, and, you know, gospel-proclaiming lips. Or we could do some sort of a vocational training. The men and women who have skills that can come and just, you know, in a short time be able to give a basic foundational understanding of whatever trade that they have. Lisa, when she comes, she's coming with a friend who's a seamstress. And so she's going to be teaching some women here in Hoima Town how to sew. And then we're going to Kiangwali, the refugee settlement, and she's going to teach more women how to sew there. So there are just simple opportunities like that, something for people in the body to be praying about, just seeing ways that God has gifted them.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. Let's pray about that. That sounds good. Anybody else? Questions? Anybody? No one?
I miss y'all. I appreciate your prayers.
Go ahead. Tell them. Say, we miss you, Jonathan.
We miss you.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I'm glad your gift is arriving on the airplane soon.
Huh?
With the children. With their gifts. Hey, tell us, give us some stuff we can pray for. Give us like 5 bullet point stuff that we can pray for.
5 bullet points.
Yeah.
You are a pastor.
What?
What'd
he say? Well, but bullet points don't actually happen here ever. It's more like, you know, magazine points. Go ahead. What do you got?
All right. Well, be praying. There's one more thing that I'll say something very briefly about. We're also doing a water project in Kumi,
mm-hmm.
where they struggle a great deal with drought. And so that's, we're still in the, you know, I don't know what you would call it, visionary stage there. We're getting quotes to set up a water catchment system for the church there as a way to serve their community and get opportunities to share the gospel. So be praying for all of those benevolence projects. We want to really help people in a physical, tangible way,
mm-hmm.
but we also want to ensure that as we love them tangibly, that we're faithful to love them in an eternal spiritual sense. So be praying that God would give us all, us being me and the brothers who are there, opportunities to really preach the gospel of the kingdom through these deeds of service. So be praying for the benevolence projects. Continue to pray for the brothers. We're taking a break right now from the monthly gatherings for December, just so that nobody got behind because of the holidays. And so pray that won't end up, be causing a lull in the future gatherings. I don't think that it will, but pray for them as they're back where they're at. Already after 2 months of training, when we gathered for the 3 months, I had guys during question and answer standing up saying, we're struggling in our churches. We're preaching these things and people are leaving. Not in every case. In some cases, there's been great, a great response from the congregations. And so pray for the guys as they are taking what they're learning home and applying it. It's a hard thing to go from, not preparing for a sermon at all and waking up and, talking about what you read the newspaper the day before, and then endeavoring to study the Word of God and make a sermon outline and depend on the Holy Spirit and, preach the Word. So these guys there's some major transformation going on in their hearts and in their practice. So pray that God would be glorified through all of that. Pray for the conference, for Eddie and Brett as they're writing their sermons, for myself, for Pastor Gordon, Pastor David, and Pastor Alphonse as they're studying, and for the administrative portion of it as well. Just that as I'm doing all of the organization, that it would come together. Gordon and I have usually worked hand in hand to do this in the past, but because he's preparing for a wedding, I'm doing all of it on my own this time. So just that God would give me wisdom.
Okay.
And do pray for my own strength and health.
How is your health? How's your weight? How are you doing eating?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I got sick last month.
Right.
It was a bit of a scare, but I'm good. I would say more than anything, it's just pray for strength and endurance. When it's a normal month and I've got these monthly gatherings, it's go, 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 go. So pray that when I have time to rest, God would really bless that time, as he is right now during this month.
Okay.
And that my time in the Word and in prayer would be sweet, because I can't pour myself out if I'm not being poured into, so.
Right. Right. Okay. All right, well, we love you. I'm going to have Eddie pray for you, and then we're going to sign off, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father God, first and foremost, we give you thanks for your provision of our salvation in Christ. God, no matter what we would do or what we would say or what projects, or if what we say and what we do is not rooted in the gospel of Christ, it is worthless words. It's cheap. And so, God, I pray that first and foremost, I pray for Jonathan and I pray for us that our hearts and our lives would be Christ-centered. I pray, God, that we wouldn't be about going through the motions, and we wouldn't be about, studies and teaching and so forth and so on, and let that get in the way of our relationship with Christ, because it can. We can become so busy even in doing the work of the church that that our relationship with Christ ends up being neglected. And I pray that would not be the case for Jonathan. I pray that would not be the case for the brothers in these districts and the elders of the Aletheia Project. I pray it would not be that would not be a reality for Pastor Gordon and the congregation at Houma Baptist. And I pray that it would not be a reality for us here at West Salem. And so God, I pray that everything would be rooted in Christ and what he's done in our place personally. God, you have heard the prayer concerns that Jonathan has brought forth. God, I pray for, you know, the Kumi Water Project. God, I pray that whatever benevolence you put before them, God, it would be done in a way that honors you. It would be done in a way that's for the most good for the people. God, I pray that you would guard our hearts from just throwing things or money at projects which could do much harm. But God, it would be done in a way where, like Jonathan said, that they would take ownership of this. And I thank you for the platforms and the opportunities to share the gospel through this. God, I pray that that would be a continued emphasis, that we wouldn't get to a point where we just want to do things, but it would always be an opportunity to share the gospel. So I pray, God, that you continue to provide those opportunities and put that desire in our hearts. God, I do pray that as they take this break, that there would be no complacency to set in. There would be no lulls. There would be, God, but just a time of sweet fellowship that would actually not decrease the fervor, but it would increase that. So, God, I pray that you would move in their hearts during this time. God, I do pray for the pastors that are going back and preaching the truth. They're preaching the word, just as Paul instructed Timothy to preach the word. And God, they're experiencing that some of the congregation is leaving. But God, we know, and I pray that they would come to trust that you are responsible for applying it to their heart. You are responsible for the response, that they would see that they are being faithful and they are pleasing you by preaching the word and preaching it faithfully and boldly, and that they would trust you for the response. Because we know, God, that your word is either going to draw people to you or it's going to harden. So God, I pray you encourage these brothers. I pray that you would give the other brothers there just words of encouragement and wisdom to help minister to these pastors that are experiencing this. God, I do pray for the conference that's coming up in January. God, I pray you would prepare all of our hearts for this. God, I pray that your spirit would, even as we pray right now, is preparing hearts, all hearts, ones that will be teaching, also ones that will be receiving, God, to really just submit to your word, that there would be, you know, no reliance upon our own strength or wisdom or knowledge, but God, it would be a total, just a dependency upon you, and that you would be seen high and lifted up, and that you would be magnified, and that we would be poured out, God, for your glory. I pray that you would give Jonathan just the wisdom to get everything in line, to get all the administrative things completed in a timely fashion. God, I pray that you would also give him sweet time in the word, and also, God, give him the unction of the Spirit in his studies to prepare the messages and just get everything prepared. I also pray for the other brothers that will be teaching, God, that we would just be dependent upon you and your spirit, that you would do the miracle of putting down on paper what you would have us teach and what you would have these brothers receive, and that, God, it would just bring glory to you and you alone. God, also pray for Jonathan. I pray for his strength. I pray for his health. God, I pray for his endurance. God, as he pours himself out, I pray that just Isaiah 58 would be a reality for him, that as he pours himself out in desolate places, that you would make him and his heart just as a watered garden. And that, God, as he pours himself out to the afflicted, that he would understand and realize and experience just that what you pour in is so much more. So God, I just thank you for this time that we get to spend with him and talk with him. God, I pray that you would bless him. I pray that you would protect him, guard him. God, and may he really, in real and tangible and magnificent ways, feel your presence and experience your grace. God, we love you and we bless you, and we pray all of these things in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thankful for y'all.
All right, bro, we love you. I'll see you soon.
Sounds terrific. I'm waiting for you.
Okay. I am going to take a shower.
All right.
Don't you dare. I'll discipline you. All right, brother, we love you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.